We're now going to cross to Joel Pollack, who is a South African-born American conservative political commentator, writer, radio host, and attorney. And he's also the editor-at-large for Breitbart News. Joel, thank you so much for joining us on the line. We had a commentator earlier saying that Trump's reputation is riding on this ceasefire. Would you agree?
Well, I don't know what that means. What do you mean by that?
I guess he means if the ceasefire works, Trump comes out of this looking good. If it doesn't, and this becomes a potentially bigger war than a regional war, he comes out of this looking bad.
Oh, I don't think so. I think if there's a violation of the ceasefire that leads to war, I think people will give him credit for having tried. And I don't think anyone else has tried harder than he has. So I don't think it affects him in that way. I think it would be a tragedy for the region. But I think he's played this thus far exceptionally well and better than we've seen any president play it before. So I don't think he would look bad. I think it would be unfortunate, but I think he's done the very best he can.
Was Iran's missile attack on the Al Udeid American military site in Qatar a direct challenge to Trump's leadership?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a pathetic attempt by the Iranian regime to save face. They told their own people that they had destroyed the base, and they can do that because they live inside a closed media loop, even more closed than people who live in entirely one-sided media environments. They've actually closed off the internet in Iran, so they assume people won't be able to get other sources of information, and they've shown the world that they delivered on their threat to target American bases, but they didn't do damage and couldn't have done damage because of the missile interception weaponry that is there. And because had they done damage, they would have ceased to exist. Then you would have seen the United States come back to Iran and bomb substantially more things other than the nuclear sites. I think the Iranians knew that they didn't want to trigger a bigger response, and so they settled for a symbolic attack that they knew in advance would be intercepted by missile defenses. I think the Iranian regime is weak and pathetic.
Joel, some say Israel is pulling the U.S. into a regional war. Is that a misreading of the alliance, or is Washington finally owing up to a fight that it's been part of all along?
There's no sense in which Israel is pulling the United States in any direction. The two countries have a relationship that has some back and forth. Sometimes the United States affects Israeli policy. Sometimes Israel affects American policy. But if you think that the Americans are being controlled by the Israelis, then you should tell the Israelis, because most of the Israelis I speak to, including people fairly high up in the Israeli government, are nervous about what the Americans will do on this issue or that issue, and they wouldn't be nervous if they thought they controlled the American government. So I don't think that I think, by the way, the intellectual test as to whether you're a stupid person is whether you believe that. That's actually a pretty good litmus test. If you believe that Israel and Jews control the American government, then you are basically a stupid person. And anyone who has that opinion doesn't really need to be engaged with anymore.
Do you think there is a long-term U.S. strategy here, or are we in reactive mode while Iran is playing chess?
Yeah. The Iranians aren't playing chess, that's for sure. The Iranians are a fanatical regime, and it's become even clearer during this war. They're a fanatical regime incapable of any strategy other than pure aggression. And the American administration, well, I think Trump is being very careful. I do think that he has other issues on his mind as well, keeping in mind that he's trying to stop conflict, not just in the Middle East, but also, and from his point of view, probably more importantly, in Eastern Europe. You know, if he can convince the parties to maintain a ceasefire in the Middle East, then perhaps he can convince Putin and Ukraine to do the same. So he is dealing with a variety of different issues at the same time. And so I think he is being strategic, and that's the long game that he's looking at. Trump wants there to be greater stability in the world. His challenge is to clean up the mess that Biden left behind, which was substantial. And I think so far he's doing a very good job, even though it's been very difficult.
Where is American Jewish opinion in all of this? Are younger Jews still aligned with Israel, or is the political center of the Jewish community starting to shift?
Well, I think that the American Jewish community is much more fractured than most Jewish communities around the world, partly because it's so large, partly because it is more assimilated, and so you get a broader spectrum of Jewish experiences. But I think of those Jews who are involved in Jewish communal life, Jews who attend synagogue, Jews who enroll their children in Jewish schools or participate otherwise in the Jewish community, I think the sentiment right now is very pro-Trump. And even though there are some people who are Democrats or on the left who may not have liked Trump in the past, even they are grudgingly admitting that Trump has done what every president promised to do but none did, which is to neutralize Iran as a nuclear threat to Israel. I do think there's a breakaway segment of the American Jewish community that is identifying with the Palestinian movement, but when you dig a little deeper, you find that most of these people have no real connection to the Jewish community at all. They're perfectly happy to be symbols and to allow themselves to be used that way. They represent maybe 5% of the community, but they get probably 80% of the media attention.